This is episode 93 of the Social Media Church Podcast, the place for conversations with church leaders about social media. Hi, my name is DJ Chuang, your host. On this episode of the Social Media Church Podcast, you'll hear a keynote address from Pastor Greg Laurie about the value of technology and the internet, delivered at a CITRT regional event back in March 2014. CITRT stands for Church Information Technology Roundtable, and it's a great network of church IT professionals and volunteers that's been around for, coming up on 10 years, and they have connected through a monthly conference call that's converted into a podcast, as well as regional gatherings and national gatherings. And for those of you that work with information technology, whether that's databases or church management systems or Wi-Fi or maintaining computers, running hardware and software installation, help desk, website development. And you know what? Because technology is so pervasive in our time and age, it spills over into social media as well. And these church IT professionals certainly are well-versed in using social media. And I want to thank Brendan Stark, who is the Web Department Director at Harvest Christian Fellowship and Harvest Ministries, for recording this keynote address in both video and audio, and in particular, high quality. Pastor Greg Laurie is a notable pastor in our time and age. He pastors a large church here in Southern California, in Riverside, California, called Harvest Christian Fellowship. And he's also an evangelist that has been doing Harvest Crusades since 1990 around the United States and a couple of other countries around the world. And it is now simulcast through the use of technology. And here is a pastor who understands the value and the opportunity of technology. So this is a great episode for you to share with someone who needs to understand the importance of technology and get some inspiration and motivation for using it. If you'd like to see the video version of this, check the show notes at socialmediachurch.net. And there you will also be able to subscribe to this podcast for future episodes to come, as well as browse back to the previous 92 episodes of great conversations with church leaders about social media. There won't be an outro on the other side, and I'm just going to share with you this conversation with Brendan Stark and Greg Laurie about technology, internet, and social media, and why it's so valuable for ministry.
Hello, Church IT Roundtable. I'm Brendan Stark, Web Director for Harvest Christian Fellowship in Riverside, California. I'm here with my senior pastor, Greg Laurie. So, Pastor Greg, thanks for being here.
Good to be here. I always love to hang out with the geeks.
All right.
I wish I was a geek, but I'm not. I'm like a wannabe geek. It's like I like everything geeks do, but I don't know how to do it. So the key is make friends with geeks. Better yet, hire them. And he does a great job with our department.
All right. Thank you very much. So you love gadgets.
Yes.
So how have you always loved computers and technology?
Well, my love of gadgets goes back way before computers. I remember when I was a little kid, I got a little reel-to-reel tape recorder. And I was just amazed at, you know, that you could actually record these little things. And then I remember my first record player. And anything that involved technology, I loved. And of course, fast forward, and then I was one of the first guys to go out and buy a digital watch. I mean, what I bought, the technology of what I bought back was at the probably the early 70s, you could get for free in a Happy Meal now. I probably paid like over $100, which was a lot back then, but I had to have the digital watch. And then of course, I had one of the first, recorders of video, it was like a Betamax player. Then later on, it became the VHS format. And, you know, so anything that's come along, I had to have the first iPhone, the first iPod. So I've always been a sucker for technology. I just love it.
That's cool. So you've been a pastor for over 40 years now.
40 years, yes.
So when you started, there really wasn't any church IT.
No, not at all. We just yelled loudly. there really wasn't. The technology we had of that day honestly was like cassette tapes. That was it.
Yeah.
And that was pretty revolutionary because prior to that we had 8-tracks. So the fact that you could record something and give it out at an affordable price was something. But, oh my, we were so behind the times. There was no internet. Al Gore hadn't invented it yet. He was probably still in the love story phase of his career. But that was satire. So, no, none of that was out yet. And so this was a whole new frontier yet in our future.
That's cool. So how have you seen technology kind of transform the church in the last 40 years?
Well, you know, I think initially Christians were afraid of technology because they didn't understand it. They didn't understand the potential of the web. Of course, it seems like some of the early adopters were using it for evil purposes. But a lot of Christians were thinking, well, how can we use it? And I immediately saw the value of it. In fact, I even thought the name of it was perfect, the internet. I thought, let's go fishing for men and women. Let's use a net. This net goes globally. I remember we were probably one of the first churches to do a live webcast. And it was like a 56K type modem. Remember how those used to fire up? And then your thing comes up, you've got mail. That was AOL, remember? Uh-huh. And, oh, I'm online. Well, I'm online. And everything was slow. But we used the first webcast to reach people. And I saw the potential of it when some missionary sent me a photograph of a bunch of people sitting out in a very dark jungle around a laptop computer being run by a generator, hearing the gospel at the crusade and accepting Christ. I thought, we've got to be at the forefront of this. So we started doing our crusades and then later our services, and the numbers of the people watching online grew exponentially, but in time, they equaled the attendance at our crusades, and then after a while, they were surpassing the number of our crusades, hundreds of thousands. And then, of course, after their archive, thousands and thousands more. So it's just unbelievable.
Yeah. So do you think technology has changed evangelism and how that's done today?
Well, I think what it has done is it's opened up the doors for greater evangelism for those who can see it. I mean, the high tech of the first century was the Roman road system. Mm-hmm. You know, the world was divided at that time. And the Romans come along. They effectively conquer the world and established what was called Pax Romana, which was the rule of Rome. And one of the good things the Romans did was they united people with a common language, which was Greek, and they united people with a road system. And the apostles walked those roads, and they used that language to bring the gospel to their generation. Fast forward 2,000 years. Now we have the World Wide Web, you know. We have this opportunity to reach out. Now pretty much everybody is on board with it. I think anyone who is not using the technology today is just missing an opportunity. I mean, quite honestly, why wouldn't a church or a pastor or anyone in ministry have a Facebook page? There's no charge. Why wouldn't they have a Twitter account? Why wouldn't they use Instagram and other forms of social media? It's immediate. It gets out to people. You can use it to bring the gospel to people. I mean, this is fantastic. So instead of complaining about it, let's use it for God's glory.
Someone in my position, someone who's behind the scenes, a technology person, how can we help our senior pastors perform their calling as a pastor?
Well, I think some pastors are prone toward this. I'm one of those people. I've always been interested in it. I mean, you know me, I'll see something cool, I'll see online, and I'll send a link to you. What do you think about this? You know, because I'm always interested in anything that can help us expand our reach. But I think for some people, they're honestly not very good at adopting new technology. So I think that you need to explain things to them and you need to show them how to use these media platforms for themselves. You know, you go into an Apple store and they have little classes being put on for folks. And I noticed a lot of times there are older people who want to kind of catch up, you know. And that's where some pastors find themselves. They're a bit older and they may feel, well, you know, I don't do it that way. I do it the old-fashioned way. Well, listen, keep, you know, preparing your messages perhaps the old-fashioned way. But even for that, there's fantastic software like Logos that you can have on your computer and you can utilize it having an amazing collection of books and get, you know, Greek and Hebrew definitions and so much more. But I think pastors need to catch up, and I think we ought to do more than catch up. I think we ought to be leading the way because, look, we're in the communication business and therefore we want to use whatever technology is out there. Let's get the word out and get an IT person, get a person who's savvy with these things. A lot of times they're younger people. Let them help you and use this technology to expand the influence of your ministry.
Okay, so for you, Windows, Mac, or Android?
Well, I bought one of the first Macintosh computers. I didn't even know how to type, but I saw that thing and I thought, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen. And I plugged it in and, hello, I'm Mac. Right? And I'm like, what do I do with this thing? And slowly I figured out how to use it in sermon prep. It was so primitive, but it was amazing because it really was a personal computer. So I was really a faithful Apple guy for a number of years. But then Windows, a lot of the Bible software was coming out on Windows. So I kind of learned, I never really got into DOS. That was way beyond me. But I sort of started figuring out the Windows platform. And then I was Windows. Then I was all Windows for a number of years. But then Apple comes along with the iPod. And I just had to have an iPod, all those songs and that little device. And that got me back into, that was sort of like the gateway drug of Apple. And that brought me back into the Apple universe. And then I was an Apple only. And I've pretty much been Apple for years now. I like the simple, intuitive interface of the Apple operating system. Now, when it comes to the cell phones, of course, Android has made some great advances. But I keep coming back still to the iPhone. I like it better, but I know a lot of people that have the Androids and they're really giving Apple a run for their money now. But the cool thing is, hey, let's just use all the platforms. So we don't want to be elitist about a certain operating system. Our app, for instance, our Harvest app is available for both the Apple operating system and the Android operating system. If you have that Windows phone, we haven't developed it for that yet.
Actually, so. It is on Windows Phone now.
You're kidding. I didn't know that. Well, congratulations, yeah. Windows people. You can now have a Harvest app. I bet it looks really cool on the Windows platform.
Yeah, it looks great.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Guaranteed, someone watching this is in IT and they're ready to quit. So they are just fried. They're burned out. They're neglecting their family. They feel like they're underwater and they're never going to come up. So do you have any words of encouragement for them? And how do you avoid burnout?
Well, I think you need to remember what you're doing. You may be an IT person, you may be working in the technology department, but what you're doing is you're providing a platform to reach people. You know, we all have our part in the church. Some are called to preach, some are called to do worship or use music, some are called into the arts, some are called into technology, others are called behind the scenes, some are called in working in practical areas, hospitality. Every Christian is gifted. You need to use your gift for the glory of God. And remember, it's Jesus you're doing it for. The Bible says, let's not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, you'll reap if you don't faint. So do it for the Lord. Do it for the glory of God. But for me as a pastor, like anybody else, you have to find balance in life. You know, you have to have time for certainly your spiritual life. You have to have time for your family. You don't need to be stinking on the phone all the time, checking out websites, texting all the time. You know, actually set the phone down, revolutionary thought, turn the phone off, have a conversation with somebody, come out of your virtual world for a few moments. It'll do you some good.
Okay, so the Beatles, they just had their 50th anniversary of when they came to America on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Yeah.
And behind us, I don't know if you guys can see, but we have replica guitars of, I think that's Paul's bass.
Yes, Paul's Hofner bass, and we have John Lennon's Rickenbacker electric rhythm guitar. We have George Harrison's Gretsch lead guitar, and I don't have Ringo's drum kit. It's too big.
But there's been lots of news specials out about the Beatles and the cultural impact that they had on Ed Sullivan, and that was really kind of rock and roll was one of the defining characteristics of the baby boomer generation. Yeah. So it came like right after the JFK assassination, and then the Beatles came on site and the culture changed.
Yeah.
So, and even in Calvary Chapel, the way that churches worship changed kind of based on what the Beatles brought.
Right.
One news program I saw said that today's kind of major sea change is the internet and technology and these computers, not just laptops, but all the iOS devices and everything else.
Computer in your pocket, really.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So seeing kind of the change that happened, you know, when you were growing up, and all these kids growing up today with the internet, do you see any parallels there and any many things that we should look out for that maybe the baby boomers went through with rock and roll that we should look out for on the internet?
Well, you know, the internet. Well, let me say it as a Beatle. You know, the internet is an amazing thing, really. We never knew. We're just four lads from Liverpool and now all this. It's amazing, really. It's a bit of a drag, though. Now, that was a Beatle imitation. I'm not sure what Beatle in particular. I think that, you know, there's good and bad out in the internet, clearly. There's some horribly wicked things that you can access with a few clicks of a mouse. And there's some absolutely wonderful things you can access. So, you know, I don't know of any generation that's ever had access to so much information so quickly. And it's kind of an awesome responsibility. And one you need to take very seriously. You need to guard yourself. And you need to not allow that evil influence into your life. But on the other hand, you know, what a great platform to propagate the gospel and the teaching of the word and helping one another. In a way, the internet, which is such an impersonal thing, has helped make the world a smaller place, you know. Started with emailing, but now with texting. Who knows what's next? We'll just think the thought and they'll get it electronically. Maybe one day we'll actually set phones down and talk with each other. I was with a group of friends the other day. We all took a seat in a restaurant and everybody was on their phone. Nobody was talking. So I actually got them all in a group text and I said, be here now. And it went bling. They all looked up at once. Oh, that's funny. Then they went back to texting again. So, but in a way though, it can keep a connection. For instance, when my wife and I travel, we love to use like FaceTime or Skype and we can talk to our kids, talk to our grandkids. And that's such a great way to make a connection. And I think as the church, as Christians, anything we can do to build and encourage community in our fellowships is good. Anything that we can do to bring the gospel to more people is good. So we have to go into it with wisdom and be careful, but at the same time, not be afraid of it and use it for all we can for God's glory.
What technology are you excited about?
Well, I think the technology I'm really having a lot of fun with right now and I'm using more is probably Instagram and Twitter. You know, I didn't quite know how to use Twitter. I mean, to have a preacher condense what he's saying is challenging because we tend to be long-winded, right? So it's like, oh, I can only use this many characters. But I find that those tweets can go out and really have an impact immediately. And I love Instagram because you can capture little snapshots of your life. And I follow other people and kind of feel as though I'm sort of connected with them. Then when I see them, I say, oh, hey, I saw you took your dog out, or I saw that beautiful shot of your child, or I saw this or that, what you had for lunch, you know, et cetera. So I love all those technologies. One thing I've been having a lot of fun with personally is it's a digital tablet called Wacom. And Wacom makes it, rather. And, you know, in the past, the styluses for them have been really, like, big, like drawing with some large object. It doesn't work. I'm used to working with pens. Well, this new one I got recently has a very small stylus, and then you can go into the settings and you can pick like a pencil or a pen or a felt pen or a thicker felt pen or an airbrush, and you can change colors. So I've been drawing a lot. I was a cartoonist before I was a pastor. I've always loved design. I've been doing more cartoons, posting them on my Facebook page, tweeting them, putting them up on Instagram and stuff, and people seem to be enjoying them. So that's a technology I've been having a lot of fun with lately. I still love to take pictures. I love cameras. I'm always looking at the latest cameras. But, you know, the cameras in the iPhone now are so good. And like it said, you know, the best camera is the one you have with you. And I always have an iPhone in my pocket. So I tend to take probably 90% of my photos, if not more, with my iPhone, even though I have some nice cameras. I don't get them out as often as I should, but I love anything that sort of captures life, and because then you go back and reflect on it, and those are great memories. So I like it when we can use it in more of a personal way.
Yeah. And do you sense that? Do you see that you're the people that you pastor have a more of a personal connection to you? Because it's hard. I mean, you have thousands of people out there.
Yeah, I think they do, because people will come up to me and say, oh, I love that photo of your granddaughters. You know, the funny thing is I'll write a little article. Maybe it's a little Bible teaching. And I'll get a fair amount of responses. You know, maybe on my Facebook page, I'll get, you know, 30,000 people liked it. And then I'll do something really random, like draw a cartoon. Or one time I did a Play-Doh snake and took a picture of it for my grandkids. And I get like 170,000 likes. I'm like, what? So it shows me, though, that people are looking for personal connection. So instead of fighting with that, I sort of embrace it. And, you know, I put some personal things out there, but I do use it as a platform for sharing thoughts that I have as well. So I use it for multiple purposes. But people will come and say, oh, I love that shot of your grandkids, or I love that little video. And so they feel connected to you. They feel like they know you. And in a way they do, because you're opening your life up to them. So I think in that way, it's a good thing. I think some people, they're just a little too obsessed, taking selfies all the time, feeling they have to update everything constantly. Like, you know what? It's actually okay to not give us updates every 4 minutes, relax a little bit, maybe live a little more life. So I'm not one of those guys. I'll actually go sometimes a few days without anything on Instagram. I usually post something on Facebook, but I'll just take a day off a day or two off every now and then. And then other days I'm in there like 4 or 5 times depending. But, you know, I think we need to find the balance again of how to use this technology and not have it dominate our life.
So what do you think is the biggest challenge facing the church today?
Well, I think for the church, our greatest challenge is remaining connected to the culture we're living in. Sometimes I feel in the church we're answering questions no one is asking, and we're not answering the ones they are asking. So I think there needs to be an understanding of what's happening in culture. There needs to be an understanding of technology platforms that can be leveraged for God's glory. We need to deliver our content in an effective way to people. But at the same time, we don't want to in any way compromise our content. We don't want to oversimplify it. We want it understandable, but at the same time, we don't want to compromise on what we're actually saying. So I think our challenge is to be aware of our changing world and come with the right message at the right time, which clearly is the gospel, and reach people with it. I think we are in the most biblically illiterate generation in the history of the United States of America. I could back up and say the most illiterate generation, but then add the most biblically illiterate. People know so little about the Bible. That's the bad news. The good news is, well, they know so little about the Bible. So it's not like you're fighting with preconceived notions. They have no notions. So that's an opportunity for us to imprint them, sort of like wet cement. Let's go in there with the true message of the gospel and use our media platforms. I mean, it's an amazing thing that anybody can have their Facebook page, and they can have their Twitter account. They can have their Instagram and other platforms. And, you know, maybe they don't reach millions or even thousands or even hundreds, but they reach a group of people that are interested in them. So all of us ought to leverage these technologies and go into all of our world and preach the gospel.
So for the past 2 years, you've had kind of a plan to kind of reach out to America. Yeah. So called Harvest America.
Yeah.
So do you want to kind of share your vision for that?
Harvest America, which is happening this year at the American Airlines Center in Dallas, Texas, is the event we're capturing. Then we do a live HD webcast, and it goes into churches, some of them very large churches with maybe 5,000-6,000 people in attendance, which we've seen. Sometimes it's a small church, maybe a little country church of 100 people. Then again, it might be going into a front room. You know, you can take a Roku box now. You can download the Harvest Channel. It's free and watch it live. That's an amazing technology. It could be carried on one of the Christian stations out there via one of their broadcasts as well. And then it will be live in some radio stations. But then you can watch it on your laptop. You can watch it on your tablet device. You can watch it on your smartphone. I think the best way to use it is to be with the person. So you can be there in the capacity of praying for them as they're hearing the gospel and following up on them after they've heard it. But let's say you can't do that. You know, you have Aunt Matilda that lives on the other side of the country. So send her a link and say, check this link out at this time and watch it. Then after the event has come and gone, it will be archived. You could still send the link and all the mechanics are still in play, and God's word will not return void if it's live or if it's pre-recorded.
Yeah. And it's really taking the technology of multi-site church, which has exploded across the country, and making this event available to churches anywhere to have an event in their sanctuary.
Yeah, you know, some people will say, I don't think people want to get together and watch a video. Well, it's more than that. You have to understand. It's a live webcast. It's a message. And here's the funny thing we've discovered. And that is, for some reason, music does not work as well on a webcast as speaking does. You know, wherever we have a satellite site, a church, where we get a video feed of the message, we always have live worship because we've tried you know, webcasting worship, and people don't participate. But when the music is live, and then you send the message, they respond. Here's an interesting thing. Years ago, Billy Graham did sort of the forerunner of what we're doing on a massive scale in an outreach he called Mission World. And they took his message, put it on satellites all around the United States and all around the world. They found that the percentage of response was higher in one of the live link sites, as they called them, than it was in the arena where Billy was preaching. That blew my mind. Yeah. And that was years ago. So you say, oh, it won't work as well in a church. No, actually it will. In fact, it might work more effectively than you may think. So your job is just capture that signal, you know, set your church up in an optimal way for maximum impact with that image that you're showing the people with the sound and so forth, and let God do his work through the gospel and stand back and watch what the Lord will do.
Pastor Greg, would you like to pray for all the people watching us right now?
Yeah, let's do that. Father, I pray for all the people out there who are adopting this technology because they see the potential, and you've given them these skills, these abilities, these gifts, really. Help them to use these gifts for your glory. Help them to grow in their understanding of the technology, but even more, to grow in their understanding of your word and of the importance of spreading the gospel. There was a time when we had to go to distant shores to reach people with a message, but now we can be in those distant shores so quickly with live streaming, video, and so many other resources that we have. So help us to be responsible and use these resources, to use them to the best of our abilities until you come back again. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.